stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM Total Storage Productivity Center Technical Exchange Conference Call Series, Session 27. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Mike Grisey. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to today's call. Today, we're not going to have any presentation materials as we have on past calls. Instead, we're going to open it up for the entire hour to question and answers, mainly with the idea that you know, if you've got any type of situations, whether they're sales-related or technically related, we'd like to get your questions answered right away so that you can close business in fourth quarter yet while we still have some time. We've got John Hollis on the call with us today to help us answer questions. And we'll be using the Star 1 format this morning. So if you have a question, you can go ahead and start getting them into the queue with the Star 1 now. And we'll get to everybody's questions as long as we have time. A couple of things that have been coming up over the last couple of weeks that you should probably be aware of is we're starting to see a lot of interest in TPC installations where SDD DSM is in the environment. And if you look at the tech support website and the supported products list, you'll notice that SDD DSM is not supported. There's been a lot of confusion over that statement, and I'd like to take a few minutes before we get started to try and clear that up. The place where we don't have support is really the TPC for data agent. There's all kinds of problems if you try to put that agent on a system with SDD DSM, so you really want to avoid that. The TPC server code itself will run on a server with SDD DSM installed. That's not a problem. It's really the multi-path nature of the driver and what TPC for data is trying to find out about those paths that causes us the problem. Development is working on getting support for that. This seems to be coming a lot more popular towards the end of the year, and I expect it to increase even more next year. So we've got development working on trying to get that resolved. It also looks like you can run the Fabric agent from a system with SDD DSM, but you need to make sure that when you do the install that you set the properties on the installer such that it uses 32-bit emulation mode. If you try to install Agent Manager and a TPC agent on a 64-bit Windows machine, which is where SDD DSM runs, you're going to get a blue screen. It's not a pretty picture. So if you're going to be doing any type of install there, make sure that you get into the properties for the installer and set it to 32-bit emulation. There's some pretty good help on the Windows operating system itself on, you know, installing in 32-bit emulation. So I'd suggest that you take a look at that first before you get involved with any of this, just to make sure that you know what you need to do to select the proper emulation mode. And with that, I think we'll go ahead and open things up for questions.
And as a reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. If you are on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will pause for just a moment.
Hey, just as another reminder, this is the last Tech Exchange call for this year, and we'll be continuing them on next year, but I think they're going to be on a little bit less frequent basis. I think we're looking at a monthly call rather than every other week. But we'll see how things go with, you know, the product rollouts and issues that might come up. Monthly should be enough, but if things still remain kind of hot, then we'll go ahead and put in some additional calls as necessary. Another thing I need to mention, some of you may know, some of you may not, but Doug Dunham is retiring at the end of this year. So he won't be joining us on these calls in the future unless he comes back as a supplemental or something of that nature. And I know that his management, and certainly the I'm interested in having him come back and supporting TPC as he's been doing so well over the last couple of years. But this will be Doug's last month as a full-time IBMer. We are going to continue with his hints and tips guide. So the SWAT team will continue that responsibility. So we're certainly not going to let that slip by or age too much. And we're looking at probably having to tap a couple of people to cover the things that Doug has covered over the past year. So you know, we'll have some more announcements about who's going to be taking over his place and who you want to call if you've got some type of SWAT-related TPC question that you need to have answered right now. So how are we doing on questions?
We do have a question from Terry Chamberlain.
Okay. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Just fine.
That was part of my question, was that if Doug was going to be leaving, who was going to do the hints and tips document and that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a couple guys on the SWAT team, like Joe Gotti, that's been working with TPC quite a bit, and I expect that Joe and a couple of others will be the ones that that provide the content in that for the hints and tips guide.
Okay, and specifically, is the SDD information going to make it into there, or is it already in there?
Well, we don't have any of the specifics that I just went through in there, mainly because SDD DSM was pretty much off the plate. But now people are starting to work with it, and we are finding some things that actually do work better than we expected. We haven't done much testing on 64-bit platforms with the agents, so that's really you know, kind of been the issue up till now. the thing that's different at this point is when we've been running on, or the support we've claimed for 64-bit platforms in the past was using a 32-bit operating system. And so then you don't really have any issues about whether you're picking an emulation mode or not. You're just running on a, you know, on a wider bus with a narrower operating system. But customers are really starting to push into the 64-bit operating system versions now, and that's where you know, people have been looking at this and trying to get things running. Like I said, we've seen a lot of this in the last, probably the last 3 weeks, both from a technical support question and also from a project management perspective. And this will be one of the first tasks that our new compatibility team will be looking at either towards the end of this year or early next year to try and get on top of this.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
And once again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question.
Okay, John, have you been seeing anything that we might want to talk about here this morning?
You know, there has been some concern coming up about the upgrades of Agent Manager. And I just want to mention that I did an upgrade on a Agent Manager yesterday, and it is a very straightforward process. Just get yourself the newest copy, the one that you need for TPC 132. And the install panels ask you a couple of questions. Put in the DB2 password twice, and then it just does the upgrade. It will not figure out that other agents have been upgraded, if they had been at some point, until you do a reboot of those other agents. But the process is very straightforward, so if you see that you're faced with doing that, fear not. It's very straightforward, and it works.
Yep, that's good to know. It does seem that the TPC server itself and the Agent Manager has settled down quite a bit over the last couple of releases, so that's good news. We're still struggling a bit with some of the the SIMOMS yet, but that's actually getting better too. Which reminds me, it's a little bit off topic, but still something that folks involved with TPC and particularly SSPC should know. There was a problem found with the 421 SVC SIMOM that needs to be replaced immediately. Now, this isn't quite as big a deal for SSPC users if you're not using the SSPC for an SVC, but you'd still probably want to go and get this service anyway and install it on an SSPC server that you know about, just to make sure that in the future, if somebody decides to use the SSPC as a master console for an SVC later, that they don't run into the problem. But the situation can lead to data loss in instances where customers are using the Metro Mirror function on SVC. So it is a pretty serious situation. It did cause a stop ship for a period of time. We have the new code available for the SVC Master Console and for SSPC. And I think this week the SSPCs coming from the factory will have this new SIMOM installed. So there's about 40 machines, SSPC machines that are out there that would have this exposure. We've been trying to track down all of the owners of those machines and make sure that they know about this and get the service installed. But I still worry that there'll be a couple of them that'll slip through the cracks that might cause problems a little bit later. So if you know of any of those things that are out there, let's make sure that they're we get them updated as best that we can.
And do remember, if you want to upgrade to SVC 421, you need to upgrade to TPC 331 first.
Okay.
And we have no questions over the phone at this time.
All right. Well, pretty quiet group today. One thing I will mention before we call it a day here is that there's a some education being planned for early next year that involves TPC and N-Series. There's a couple of conference calls that are going to be put together for the worldwide audience. So it'll be two calls, one for Americas and EMEA, and another for AP. I don't have the actual schedule for those calls yet, but once we get them announced, then we'll make sure to have Danita send out a note to everybody letting you know that they're there. We had expected to do these in December, but we weren't able to pull them off quite as quickly or as well as we would have liked. But it's basically going to be a 90-minute call, and it's going to cover TSM and TPC interoperability with N-Series. So I know a lot of people have had questions about those in the past, and it does continue to pop up in the field. So this should give you a pretty good idea of where we are today and a little bit of our future plans in the N-Series space. So with that, if we don't have any further questions, we'll go ahead and give you some time back into your day.
We have one question from Glenn Lehman.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. A couple of questions. One is I'm a little bit unclear on terminology that's being used these days. There's standard edition, there's limited edition, there's the TPC suite. Can someone kind of explain that to me, give me a better deal what's in each of those bundles?
Okay.
That would be one question.
Okay. Well, we try to make this as confusing as possible. So we have all these neat little acronyms and things, but basically TPC Limited Edition is our entry level experience for TPC, and it's basically the TPC code, all of the code that you need to run TPC, but it has some license restrictions. It is supposed to only be used for 2 terabytes of managed storage. And you can do things like, you know, the topology viewer is available. You can do some asset and capacity reporting. There's some basic LUN management and LUN assignment that you can do with limited edition.
Should I think of it as having the 3 components, though, for data, disk, and fabric?
No.
Just restricted? No.
No. Yeah, you can. It depends on how the question is asked. You don't have the function.
Okay.
But the code itself is installed. Okay, so that later, if a customer decides, you know, they've been playing with limited edition for a little bit and they want to upgrade, then all they need to do is apply a license key. And
okay.
That'll turn on, you know, disk, data, fabric, whichever they want.
So that makes a turnkey once they decide they want to get the added function there.
Right. So you still have, you know, if you're going to do data and fabric, you still got to mess with agents. And if you're going to do, you know, disk performance management, you still got to mess with SIMOMS. But, you know, the TPC server stuff itself is pretty much done.
Okay.
Now, so now that you've got limited edition, you know, understood, it's actually been withdrawn. So it's going to cease to exist in February. Now, limited edition was packaged with IBM storage systems and tape libraries. Okay, and it was free of charge. So we basically got the first year of maintenance free. You never had to pay a license. And the idea was is that we would, you know, customers would get this in the box with their DS8000 or SVC, and they'd say, ooh, this is cool. They load it up onto a server, start playing around with it, and then just beg for salespeople to come out and take their orders for other TPC components. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. So we're going to withdraw it. It's actually been announced as withdrawn, and the last date you can order it is February 8th of next year. We're replacing it with a thing called TPC Basic Edition. Now, it has exactly the same functionality as Limited Edition, except there is no terabyte limit. Okay, you can use it for as much storage as a customer has. And it's not free. There's a server license for TPC Basic Edition. You buy the thing and you can install it on a machine and then use it against all of the storage that you have. And again, it's the same functionality. You can do topology viewing, the LUN assignment and creation, asset and capacity reporting, that kind of thing. TPC Basic Edition is a key component of SSPC. When you buy an SSPC server, Basic Edition is preloaded on that server along with the SVC 421 master console code. And it's essentially unlicensed. So when you buy an SSPC, the configurator requires that you either purchase a TPC Basic Edition license through AAS, or you swear on your mother's grave that you're going to buy it on Passport Advantage. And that gets Basic Edition into the customer's account in a pre-installed, you know, basically turnkey server. So that gets us to the point where customers actually have something that they can use. The thing that finally gets them to use TPC is that for DS8000 R3 storage systems that are built as R3 systems, TPC 331, Basic Edition plus the other components, and SSPC is the only way that you can do remote access to the DS8000 GUI with those R3 machines. If you've got a DS8000 that you're upgrading, that restriction is not there. It's only the new build. So the idea is that customers will have to get this SSPC as their first, you know, along with their first DS8000 in a data center. They'll start to use TPC. It gives the account teams a reason to talk about storage management software. They can talk about, you know, disk performance, fabric performance, replication, all those types of conversations can happen at the time that the DS-8000 is being discussed. So we're already starting to see kind of an uptick in the clothing that we're getting through storage management software with our hardware, which is really a good thing because that's profit for IBM. So that's limited edition, basic edition. Now, disk data and fabric are the three primary functional components. You can buy them separately, or you can purchase TPC Standard Edition, which is a bundle of all three of the components at an attractive price. And essentially the way the price works is that you can, the cost of any two components essentially gets you the third one when you buy Standard Edition. The pricing advantage is set up that way. So, you know, if you got anybody that's interested in two components, you might as well talk them into to Standard Edition because it's going to be the same price anyway, and they get the extra functionality that they can work with at a later time if they decide they want to do it. Now, the suite can be kind of confusing because I've heard it used two ways. The suite can encompass just Standard Edition, so people would talk about the suite as disk data and fabric, or it can also refer to TPC Limited Edition along with the other three. They're not Limited Edition, Replication, sorry. TPC for Replication would also be considered part of the TPC family or TPC suite. So that one, you kind of got to push back a little bit and find out just what they mean. But Replication is the product that we use to manage DS-8000 and SVC copy services. It's got some really slick graphical user interface assists for setting up sessions and copy sets and failover and failback, and now with some of the new features, there's practice volumes and space-efficient flash copy and, you know, all these other kinds of support. So that's another component that you'll definitely want to talk about with customers, especially if they're doing copy services, and particularly if they're doing copy services with a bag full of scripts, because Replication is a much easier way of dealing with copy services than a bunch of text files. So does that help?
That helps a lot, yes. That,
okay,
that
good.
Clears it. The picture is much clearer. Now, as far as our situation, we went out to the internal IBM Passport Advantage, and we're trying to purchase or get a hold of the code for TPC 331. And when we go out there, what we see is TPC 33. They have the version, the release, but they don't go into further delineation of that, and
right.
It's a product dated August 7th.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if I'm getting 330 or 331.
Well, you're getting 330.
Oh no.
And well, no, that's kind of the way this works.
Okay.
What you see on Passport Advantage is exactly the same package that you would get if you ordered the media.
Okay.
Okay. So those images are what gets put onto the CD. When we do these point releases, you know, like 3.3.1 or 0.2 or, you know, something like that,
mm-hmm.
We don't refresh the media, okay, because there's some scrap and everything else involved with that. So what we do is we leave all that pretty much as it is, and then to get the 3.3.1 code, you would go to the tech support website, click on the download tab and then the download link, and then you can get the 331 update from there. So it's a two-step process, unfortunately. Now, the 331 code that's on that download site is an upgrade. Okay, it won't install by itself, it needs to see a version of TPC, a licensed version of TPC installed ahead of time, and then we'll go through and upgrade it.
All right, so it's not like a standalone.
Right, right.
Now,
you can do 3.3 first and then apply 3.3.1 right on top of it, you know, right away.
Okay. Now, you keep talking about this Total Storage Productivity Center support web page. If it's the one that I think you and Doug keep referring to, I'm not too happy with that. I go to that thing, and the first thing it talks to me about is DST.
Yep.
I don't understand why that would be at the forefront of when I go to this page. It obviously, I go to it, and I think I've gone to the wrong place. I mean, help me navigate this web page, because you guys refer to it all the time, and I've got it bookmarked, but half the time I go to it, I think I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, the way the page is set up, and you're right, we've got some updates that we need to get done on that page, because DST is really not that important anymore now that we're past the second part of it. But the way the page is set up is that's what I refer to as the portal. It gets you into all things that are TPC. And it's the things that you really care about are the four links at the bottom.
Okay.
Where you get into disk data, fabric, and replication.
So if I want to download this 331 upgrade, do I have to do it three times for data,
no,
disk, and fabric? No.
No, no. The way, and this is partly the way the product is structured and partly the way people think about the product and try to navigate the website is, you know, a lot of people think, well, I've got TPC for data. I need to go find TPC for data. So they go to the data link. And you'll see things that are specific to data there. But any of the code downloads or the, like, the best practices guides or the product documentation or that will all be for TPC as a whole.
So there's a link on this page that takes me to that?
Yes. If you look, scroll down a little bit, you'll see, I think it's data, disk, and fabric, and then replication, and I think at the bottom it's TPM. So if you click on any one of those TPC links, it'll take you to that particular component's technical,
yes,
support page. And they all look the same. They all have the same tab structure. The download page will be, or the tab will be identical between the three. The only pages that might be different are the install and use pages. TPC for Fabric has a different kind of supported products list because it cares about switches and, you know, fabric components and not so much about storage systems. So those are a little bit different. But everything else should be pretty much the same.
Okay.
You can always go to data and always get the, you know, go to the download tab there, and you'll get exactly the same thing as if you went to the disk or fabric.
Okay, so click on data. That's a good way to handle it then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Great. And now my last question, how do I know if I have need agents upgraded? Is there a matrix or a table or a rule of thumb?
John's probably got more experience with that than I do, so I'll defer to him on that.
Interestingly enough, my path for doing it is perhaps one that the questioner doesn't have, which is I always go down to the running TPC. You know, I'll look in under Administrative Services, Configuration, Data Agent Upgrades, and it will, under there, actually give me a list of the different data agents and what versions they are at, and he will automatically do that for me.
That's a web page, you said?
No, it's in a running TPC. It's in the TPC GUI.
So oh, I see.
So that's the one place I found where you can get, you know, if you have a large installation and you have a lot of computers, it's nice to go to one place and see which data agents are sitting out there. And so you can do that through the GUI, and then there is the option through the GUI to actually set up an automatic job through TPC to handle the upgrades. So that's where I go and handle that.
So my server would then go out to the web? Or is it going to be on CDs that come with my upgrade or my product install?
It came with your install. Disk 2, when you mount that during the install or the upgrade process, has the newest versions, the most current versions of the data, fabric, and the common agent on them.
Okay.
so he'll take care of that automatically. Now, if you run into a situation where your upgrades are failing, you may find that it's easiest then to do the upgrade with a local install on the computer system instead of doing it through TPC. But the good starting point is through the GUI.
And push it out from there.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we do have a question from Marcus Stando.
Hi, this is Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
I have several questions, and
okay.
Most of them are based on the previous speaker, so probably we start in the same order. The difference between limited edition and basic edition. With basic edition, as far as I understand, I can use SIMOMs to get data from devices like DS8000 or switches, but I don't get performance data. Is that correct?
Correct. That was true with limited edition as well. You could do discovers for SIMOMs, but it's mainly the asset and capacity information that you'll get through the SIMOM.
So okay.
It gives you a little bit more clarity about what's going on inside the storage system.
So will I also get the data manager within the navigation tree in order to see the asset reports of the data manager? Especially for storage subsystems, that's very important because that's basically the only asset information that you can get.
Yeah, I'm just got a little thing from John that you don't actually get that option. How do you get that capacity information out, that asset information?
Yeah, hold on just a sec. I'm bringing up a basic edition right now to take a look at it. But it seemed to me when I was looking at it yesterday, there was no tab in the navigation tree for data. That's right. There is no tab in the navigation tree for data manager. So
okay.
you can't get anything under there. Now, the next question is, how do you get the asset information?
Yeah, then the easy question from a customer would be, okay, what happens if I buy a 1 terabyte license for TPC for data? Then I will get the navigation tree, and I could see the asset information for my storage subsystems, right?
Right, that's one way to do it.
And
I think there is a way to get this from basic edition.
And I'm almost there. I'll have an answer in just a moment. I hope. But don't wait for me. Continue on with other questions.
Let's move on to the next one, and we'll come back to this one.
Okay. What about tape management? Is tape management part of basic edition? Because usually I think it was part of data manager.
The tab is there.
Yeah, so you'll be able to see tape library information as long as you've got the tape SIMOM installed.
Okay. So the answer is yes. I have it. Okay, then I think we were previously roughly talking about daylight saving time. And since I'm not living in the U.S. and also not in Australia or New Zealand, do I need to care about the daylight saving time issue anymore if I install a fresh TPC server?
No. Anything basically... Any code that was built after, I think it was like March of 2007, has all of the daylight savings time code changes in there.
Okay.
The only other issue is if you've got an old TPC 3.1 install and you're going to put some new service on top of it, you do want to make sure that you also do any WebSphere or DB2 or Java changes that need to be made for daylight savings time. That's one of the reasons why that text is still there, because if worldwide, if you've got something that was installed, very early on in 3.1 and you're finally getting around to upgrading it for the first time, there are other software components that you'll need to update in order to be compatible.
Correct, but this is also only true for the U.S. or New Zealand. If I'm not using any TPC component in those areas, I do not need to care about that.
I mean, the those components update real easily. Like, I mean, DB2 is pretty seamless. WAS is the same way. Same thing with Java. So I'd go ahead and do it anyway.
Okay.
Just to make sure that, I mean, that's what, how we're testing all this stuff in the future. So if there's any question about it, I think the first thing support would do is say, well, you know, you need to update these things and then call us back.
Okay.
So that's one thing. The other thing is that depending on, you know, the company you're working with and the way they're done, they may actually have assets in places where there are some daylight savings time changes. Now, this isn't obviously going to affect everybody, but some accounts are big enough that you know, they might have storage in you know, the U.S. or somewhere in North America that would be subjected to a daylight savings time switch like this.
Okay.
So the agents do care, you know, about this at some point. But again, any service that was built after March includes everything. Any product that was released, like TPC 3.3, even I think 3.1.3 that we actually changed the media packs on, has all the stuff in there, and you don't have to worry about this anymore. It's just that transition from, you know, the pre-daylight savings time changes and you know, these other releases that you have
okay.
to worry about it.
So then there is only one customer that I need to talk to who was installing 3.1 even before daylight saving times and who hasn't changed it since then.
Okay, yeah, that would be a candidate to have the conversation.
Yeah, okay. Then another question about the agent upgrades. On the TPC server, there's only this one point where I create a new data agent upgrade job in order, or where I can see the actual current version that is deployed on those agents. If I click on data sources and agents, I don't see the version, and I have no chance to see the Fabric agent version. Will this change in the future? Because if customers are using this more and more, it becomes more and more important to know which versions are deployed on what server.
I too have looked for that information, and I haven't been able to find where you get the version information on the Fabric agent.
Okay, yeah, I think that's actually a good candidate for a FITS request.
And that is related to my next question. Do we still need the Fabric agent in future? Because currently, I think we still have the situation that you need the Fabric agent in order to get the 3.3 and 3.3.1 advanced functions like Data Path Explorer and things like that.
The Fabric agent does improve the fidelity of the Data Path Explorer. You get more information about the HBA and that type of thing.
Right.
But there's still a lot of Data Path Explorer information you can get without the Fabric agent. Now,
but there were some issues, and we were previously suggesting to customers only to use a limited number of Fabric agents, and then we recently discovered that without the Fabric agent, some information is not available in TPC,
right,
which is needed.
So there's a couple things that are happening in that area. One is that we're going to be including the HBA specific information in the data agent, so that you won't need the Fabric agent to do the complete Data Path Explorer. I don't know offhand exactly what release that's going to come into. There's also some things coming, and this is farther out. This won't be until 2009. But there's more information that's going to be available through the operating systems that we're currently gathering using things like data and Fabric agents. So I expect over time that the agents that we have are going to become thinner. There won't be as much information that we rely on them for. We can get them other ways. You can think of it almost as a storage simom getting built into the operating system, and we'll use that type of an interface rather than an agent.
Okay.
So, you know, once you get down into the 2009 time frame, you know, we're starting to talk about things like agentless discovery. So, you know, the near-term future is we're going to combine those fabric functions that are required for Data Path Explorer into the data agent, so we get rid of that limitation. And then further out in time, you're going to see, you know, less and less information coming from the agents. We'll probably see the fabric agent disappear entirely first, because more of the switch components are starting to put in SIMOMs. They're building them into the switches or having proxy SIMOMs available, and that's really where a lot of the information for the fabric agent can come from. And then, you know, once we get that HPA stuff out of the data agent, then, you know, the fabric agent can pretty much disappear entirely. But that's a little bit of a ways off yet.
Okay.
We do have a clarification on your question about the data assets, and it does look like for data assets, a small capacity TPC for data license is going to be required there. So your 1 terabyte thing was the right way to go.
Would that be correct from a licensing perspective if the customer says, I just want to have a 1 terabyte license for TPC for data, even though their DS8000 probably have 50 terabyte or 100 terabyte of capacity?
Yeah, that's not, I don't think that's a problem, mainly because if you're not going to be deploying agents on servers, once you start putting data agents on servers, that's where you have to worry about that capacity.
Okay, yeah, that's understood.
Yeah, but
you know, if you just use a data agent, for example, on the TPC server itself,
yep,
just to monitor the TPC server, C drive, and things like that,
yeah, then would be just fine.
Then a 1 terabyte license would be fine.
Yep.
Okay, great. Then I still have 2 more questions.
Okay.
The common agent, do we have a possibility to upgrade the common agents also? For the data agent, we have this upgrade job, but I guess the common agent will stay at the same level, right, if you run these jobs?
There is a separate update procedure for the agent manager. And, John, you were talking about that a little bit earlier in the call, is it?
I have not tested the common agent upgrades. My suspicion is you can do a push and upgrade of that, but I haven't tested that.
Does we know?
My guess is if you tried pushing a data agent or a fabric agent, that the common agent would go with it.
You can't push a fabric agent. Only during TPC install, if you at the same time push a common agent and a data agent. Then
that's
you
right.
Might be.
That's right. Before you can push the fabric agent, you have to have a common agent already out there. But once you've done that, you can push the fabric agent.
But now, a customer of mine who has currently only used TPC for disk wants to talk with me about using TPC for data and deploying the agents to hundreds of servers. And I'm a little bit hesitant to really do that because I don't know in half a year how. Do we know which common agent version is installed on which server, and how do we upgrade all those machines if we need to? Because currently there's, as far as I can see, there's no mechanism other than going to each machine.
I would seek competent adult supervision and find some people in services who have experience with doing that.
Yeah, one of the whole reasons for agent manager and common agents is the ability to push these things out as they change. So, you know, we'll have to do some looking, but I'm 99% sure that if you were to push once you've got your agent infrastructure in place and you're going to push a fabric or data agent out later, you've got an update, and there's an update to the common agent at the same time, that would get pushed as well. I would think you wouldn't even need to you know, call that out as part of the push. But that's something that I've got to research.
Do we have some web pages where you can find more information about the Agent Manager? Of course, we don't sell it as a separate product.
That's a good question. I don't know if there's a Common Agent support page. There probably is something that you can get on W3, but I don't know if there's anything available through IBM.com.
Okay.
You know, Mike, this whole topic of upgrades may well be worth a tech exchange call next year.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. You know, upgrade planning and actually execution. We'll put that down for an early one.
Because the combinations and permutations of the possibilities and the issues, local install, remote install, which version of the agent manager, which version of the common agents, how do I get them out, how do I find what I have, how do I get inventory, could be a very worthwhile session.
Yep, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. So that comes to my last question. I recently tried to install the TPC 331 on AIX with DB2 version 9, and I tried to install the agent manager, and that was a 64-bit environment. Do we support the agent manager in a 64-bit environment?
No, I don't believe that we do. But that's one of the reasons why we're not 64-bit with TPC as well. I mean, you'd have to install it as a 32-bit emulation.
Okay, so we can run TPC in 64-bit environments with DB2 version 9, but we can't use the agent manager on that machine.
Well, TPC itself, even the application is still 32-bit.
Right,
but you have to install it as a 32-bit emulation on a 64-bit.
But there's no switch that I need to do. With DB2 version 8, you could install two different binaries, the 64-bit binary or the 32-bit binary. With DB2 version 9, you don't have the choice anymore. So it's always installed on your 64-bit machine, but TPC seems to be still able to work with that.
Okay, yeah, I would expect it to be able to do that, because the emulator package that goes around the 32-bit apps handles any of the 64, 32-bit translations. So, yeah, that makes sense.
But the agent manager seems not to be able to be installed in a DB2 version 9 on AIX 64-bit. So if customers want to use that combination, want to use a current TPC server on AIX, they need still to use the DB2 version 8 32-bit.
Okay. I was not aware of that. Actually, that would be worth opening a PMR.
If you read the installation guide carefully, it never really says that Agent Manager can run on 64-bit. It doesn't even really say that TPC can, but it's somewhere hidden between the lines that you can interpret that this is a valid combination to have TPC on a 64-bit machine running 64-bit DB2. But that agent manager is not able to do that. But it's somewhere hidden in the definition. So it would be helpful on the support page to have something like a matrix, which combinations are really supported.
Yeah, we actually have that activity underway
right now.
To try and get that sorted out as to which agents run where and which 64-bit drivers run, you know, we can work with and that. So we'll make sure we get this added to the list. But the agent manager thing not working with DB2 version 9, I would appreciate it if you could, you know, get a PMR open for that.
The support webpage, the matrix actually shows agent manager supported on AIX 5.3 32-bit and supported on AIX 5.3 64-bit in comp mode.
Right, and that's that 32-bit emulation mode that I talked about.
But those are the only two AIX platforms on which Agent Manager is supported.
But then there is, I mean, the problem is that if a customer has already installed the AIX machine, how do I get to know if it's running in 64-bit mode or in 32-bit mode, and is there a way to switch it from the one mode to the other, and these questions. And it doesn't really say that since of this combination, it doesn't. The Agent Manager seems not to support DB2 version 9 on AIX because that always runs in 64-bit mode.
Yeah, that's where we've got a problem, and I think that's where the PMR would be helpful to get that clarified from the Agent Manager team, so we can get it right on the.
I can try to, but it was a proof of concept, so I don't have access to that machine anymore to get some log files or something like that.
Okay.
So I can open a PMR, but I cannot provide any more information.
Yeah, that's okay. The PMR just helps us get development's attention.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way they handle their internal accounting, so a PMR definitely helps. But,
okay.
Well, yeah, we've got some problems on the support page there in those areas as to just what works with what and what the prereqs and corecs and all that are. And the development team is working on that now, so I hope to have some updates in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, then I'm through with my questions. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
And as a final reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question.
Okay, we'll give folks another minute or two to think of what they need answered. Actually, we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour anyway, so if you've got one, now's the time to get it in place so we can get it answered for you.
And we do have a question from Julia Macione.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, how are you doing?
Just fine.
Okay, I would have three questions. First one is concerning the common agent level. Is it planned to have the same level that as the other Tivoli product? Like for example, with CPEM, we don't have the same level. So if the customer would like to implement TPC and TPM, then he needs to install two different common agents.
The intent is to get them common. So yeah, we do want to get to that point.
Okay. Do we have any dates that we can tell customers, or is it in the roadmap officially?
I don't have the date offhand, and that's probably a small enough item that it doesn't show up as a line item in the roadmaps, but I'll have to check on that for you, Julian.
Okay.
And get that to you. When will common agents actually be common?
Okay, thank you for this point. Then I have a point concerning backup. Is there a way to work with backup with another tool than TSM? For example, if my customer is using another backup tool, can he identify if the files are backed up or not? What is the space required? Or can he generate automatic backup without TSM?
We should be able to do all of the things, identify files that haven't been backed up, using the TPC
mm-hmm.
for data agents. But we don't have support for any type of batch processing of what we find for any product other than TSM.
Okay.
So. We can show you what needs to be done, but after that, it's kind of up to the operator to go, tell Veritas or whatever that there's some files that need to be backed up.
Okay. And do we know how TPC does to identify if the files were backed up or not?
Basically, the only way we can tell that is through the state of the archive bit in the file metadata. So we'd have to go back and do another discover, and then you'd look to see what still hasn't been backed up.
And this archive bit exists even if it's not a Windows system?
Most file systems have an archive bit or an equivalent.
Okay.
So, yeah, it would be there. I mean, that's
okay.
How TPC figures this out in the first place, is to look at the state of either it's up. It's a backup bit or archive bit or whatever it's called. But, that's pretty much in every file system.
Okay. I thought it was the last question, but I recalled another one. So I have one question concerning CCMDB, and the last one concerning chargeback. TPC is, as far as I know, populating the CCMDB.
Correct.
But we have other customers that are working with another CMDB. For example, the customers from England, they implemented ETIL for a long time. And so they have a kind of even their own CMDB. Is there a way that TPC could populate another database than its CCMDB?
I'm sure there's probably a way. Other than CCMDB, I don't think there's anything that TPC does automatically or is even in the roadmap. What I would suggest for customers that are interested in this is to either go through the FITS process if they can wait. Another option would be to look at a custom services engagement to see if there's something we can do at that point to provide some. TPC has the ability to run or can schedule running a program or a batch file or something like that.
Yep.
from within TPC. So, there may be something that we can do from, like, a TPC tool extraction transformation that could put something into another, other type of a database. A services guy might be able to come up with what we need to do there, what the transformation would be and write some code to do that. So that would be one avenue if there's something that we can do quickly and relatively easily. But, to get something into TPC to do that as a normal function would require a FITS type of a request.
Okay. Thank you. And last one, I received lots of requests from customers to have more functions into the chargeback section. Is it planned? Or maybe I heard that we could have the ability to export some parts of the database or to interact with the SQL statements in the future releases. This might be a way of doing personalized reports for chargeback.
Yeah, there's this is another place where FITS can help to clarify and prioritize what we want to do with chargeback.
Mm-hmm.
There's really two ways we can go with this, and that's to put more chargeback function into TPC, or we can, provide data in a format that other chargeback applications might be able to take advantage of. And, certainly the Tivoli products in that area would be an obvious candidate. But I think that's probably the direction we would go because over the last year or so, we've been finding there's an awful lot of different chargeback options that customers are interested in. We're kind of volume focused, but customers are more interested in actual file system utilization, which could be you could have a bunch of those on a volume, and TPC for data just doesn't really think that way in terms of chargeback. But we do have the ability to capture that type of information and make it available to some other application that could think that way. The other thing to think about with chargeback is that, TPC is a storage-focused application. We don't, consider things like, application, what an application's actually consuming in terms of network bandwidth or CPU or blade center type of bandwidth, and that along with the storage component may be the type of metrics that a customer wants to use for a chargeback type of an environment. So we can only give a portion of the story. So I think you're going to see probably not as much progression in the TPC chargeback functions, but a lot more in, what we can do with the data that we have and making it available to other chargeback applications. And, the FITS requests can help us figure out which ones we need to worry about.
Okay. And is it still planned, as you're speaking about things that you're paying attention, is it still planned to have a way to talk to TPC database via SQL statements outside of TPC to have, for example, tuned reports without using the TPC tool?
Yes, that's definitely in the plan. There's
great.
BERT itself has now become a bit more, I'll say, legitimate within the way of software group and Tivoli in particular. Now there's a product called Tivoli Common Reporter, which is essentially a blue-washed version of BERT that it's either available or will be available shortly. And I am desperate to get TPC aligned with that so that we can do more, you know, custom reporting and, being able to leverage other, you know, Tivoli and, you know, non-IBM products out there that have data that would be of interest to a storage manager. So, you know, we're working real hard to get that capability into TPC. The project management guys are finally convinced that there's a lot of value here, not only from a services type of a standpoint, you know, where we can generate revenue by creating these custom reports using these tools, but it also allows them to focus more on other functions than to continue to have to, you know, include reporter changes, you know, within TPC. So there's a lot of goodness to get out of this, and I think we've got the focus in the right place now. It's just a matter of getting the implementation done.
Okay, I do agree.
Yeah. So I hope to see something, you know, next year, maybe middle of the year, where we can start doing some of this stuff directly.
Okay, great news. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Julian.
And there are no further questions.
Okay, well, with that, we certainly appreciate your attendance again today. We're always happy to see folks that are interested in TPC. We had a lot of really good questions today. Started off a little bit slow, but, boy, we really picked up steam there toward the end. And, again, I certainly appreciate your attention and all the hard work that you've done in 2007 to help make TPC successful. In some cases, it's been a bit of an uphill battle, but we're definitely doing the right kinds of things in the marketplace. I think TPC is looking pretty good as far as being able to meet its numbers. Of course, we're counting on good results in the fourth quarter to get us there, so we can't let up quite yet. I look forward to seeing you guys again next year on these calls. With that, thank you very much, and good luck in the rest of the fourth quarter.
This does conclude today's audio conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.